Triple M's Ruined It's back on your radio in 2019, but the show must go on. Gleeso and Alana Smith in studio this morning.
How you going? Yes, it's always nice to fill in for Ruined It's while they're away and there are exotic locations around the world, which I'm sure
the Riverland.
Oh, why not?
Sipping pina coladas.
Wakery, that's an exotic part of the world. Don't
very
worry about
exotic.
That.
Now, Alana Smith, how's the SA weekend going? Are you doing filming this week or not?
No, not this week. Okay. I've sort of wrapped up for the year.
Okay. So. Sorry I asked.
Yeah. Yeah. Holidays. Woo!
And Gleeso, what did you get up to last night or yesterday?
Oh, more mowing for me.
Lawn mowing.
Indeed.
More mowing.
Indeed.
Bloody hell.
It's not a lawn. It's a paddock.
It's a paddock.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But then. Then the kids went off and saw 21 Pilots last night.
Yeah. Good reviews.
Good reviews. The kids loved it. Bella is the huge fan of 21 Pilots. And the guy disappeared off stage like Dynamo.
Yeah.
Where did he reappear? Right next to Katie and the kids in the crowd.
So. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's real for them.
They're absolutely blown away.
Don't want to give away any secrets here. Is there a tunnel?
I imagine there is. unless
it was magic.
Unless it's real magic.
What's making news today? It's a bit skimp, isn't it, at the moment?
There's plenty going on. There's big doings in Whyalla we're going to be talking about, which is
massive,
very exciting.
Potentially enormous for this state's economy, and particularly the city of Whyalla could increase their population fourfold.
Right, the top three things making news. We'll do that next. Ruined It's for breakfast. Ruined It's for breakfast on Triple M.
Ruined It's. Top three things you need to know.
All right, what's making news?
Yeah, well, we just touched on it a moment ago. One of the biggest steelworks in the world could be headed to Whyalla. It would pump billions of dollars into the state's economy and take their population from 20 to 80,000. It's massive.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge deal. It's a next generation mega steel plant, power plant. It's going to be, multitask, multi-purpose, they've already signed off on $600 million worth of contracts to get it all running up there. Sanjeev Gupta's the guy. He faced a bit of opposition because they were trying to get a Korean consortium involved, and he was kind of out of the running. But they were saying in the paper today that his tenacity and his belief and his vision for the project is why it's going ahead, and it's looking like it's going to be a huge boon for the city of Whyalla.
Indeed. He's the British chair of the company, and the flow-on effects from that as well. It's not just the direct revenue that would create, but like every industry in that city is going to benefit. It really is massive. Let's hope it goes ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And to show it was a big deal, everyone showed up. ScoMo was there yesterday. Bill Shorten was there yesterday. And of course, Stephen Marshall was in the background going, I'm the Premier, but
all out for a photo.
Yeah, but it was, so it's a big deal. And Whyalla was looking pretty shaky when it closed, the steel mill closed down there a few years ago. Workers were taking pay cuts to try and keep it open. So Sanjeev Gupta was saying that the tenacity of the people up there was another reason that he's very keen to get this off the ground.
Indeed. All right. Also in our top three today, the ACCC has launched a world-first investigation into the dominance of Facebook and Google.
Each month, approximately 19 million Australians use Google, 17 million access Facebook.
1 year ago, the then Treasurer ordered an inquiry into their impact on Australian media. The ACCC suggests a regulator with power even to investigate the algorithms behind Google and Facebook services and to fund journalism, make news subscriptions tax deductible.
Yeah, well, look, it's long been said that Google and Facebook use search engines that put their products, including their news services, to the top of any search that you do, and they're worried about the impartiality of the news service that these guys are providing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel like I only think about something and it pops up at the top of my Facebook or whatever. It is, I think it would be fascinating to see how those algorithms work and how much data they are collecting on everyone and targeting them.
Yeah, and look, because this has grown so rapidly over the last 15, 20 years, or 15 years, I would imagine, there's been very little regulation. They've had very little chance to have any regulation on it. It's pretty well operating like the Wild West out there. They make up their own rules, and I think it's about time that someone did step in and have... Everything else is regulated, and I don't want it to be regulated, you know, like 1984 or some George or Orwellian type of thing. But there certainly needs to be. We certainly need to know that we're getting impartial news and we're getting a fair reporting on what's going on in the world around us.
Particularly when it comes to government and voting and things like that, you don't want results of votes, national votes, coming down to which order you get a story on your Facebook.
That's right, exactly.
All right, and of course, it was a really interesting test match in the end. Unfortunately, we came out on the wrong end of it. 31 runs, India getting the win and getting off to a great start in the test series. But great to see our tail wag.
Yeah, look, I'm stoked that it went 5 days. It went right down to the wire. And you can't help but lament, 31 runs. If a couple of our top order batsmen had put on 15 or 16 more runs each, then it would have been a totally different story. We wouldn't have been relying on Nathan Lyon and Josh Hazlewood to kind of
I read a tweet last night saying that breaking Lyon and Hazlewood to open the batting in Perth.
Here's Virat Kohli, but talking about how overjoyed he was.
It's a great feeling. We've never taken lead in a series in Australia, so it's obviously a very, very good achievement on the team's part and something that we're really looking forward to build on.
Yeah, and anyone who saw the footage when Hazlewood was caught out, Virat Kohli was as excited as a dog with two balls. He was absolutely beside himself, wasn't
he? Yeah, really. Yeah, show what it meant to them. And I think it also showed how much we're missing Smith and Warner.
Yeah, get them straight back in. But they're talking about an unchanged team for Friday's test that kicks off in Perth.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what's making news. Triple M's ruined Dits for breakfast. 5 minutes away from getting Channel 7's European correspondent Hugh Whitfield on the phone, guys.
Yeah, that's right. Absolute mayhem in the UK with the Brexit vote being put off. Yeah, who knows what's going on.
It's been ever since. I mean, how long? It must be over 12 months ago that they voted to leave the European Union, and they are still no closer to finding a way to do that cleanly.
All right. Well, the latest chapter of the Brexit saga has taken place overnight. And for more information on that, we're now joined by Channel 7's European correspondent, Laurel Irving. Laurel, good morning to you. We understand that the Brexit vote, parliamentary vote, has been put off for up to 5 weeks. Can you fill us in on what's taken place?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's an absolute mess, to be pointed about it. It's Theresa May, this is her big deal. She said, this is it. This is the only deal we're going to get to make Brexit happen. Brexit is due to happen on the 29th of March, so we're running out of time. The problem is this deal was liked by almost no one. In fact, more than 100 of her own MPs were going to vote against it. So she has realised that there's no way it's going to get through Parliament. She's pulled the vote. What she's going to do now is go back to the EU, the European Union, and try to negotiate a slightly better deal and then put that to a vote in a few weeks' time. The sticking point mainly at the moment is Northern Ireland. Now, Northern Ireland shares a border with the Republic of Ireland, of course, and that's staying in the EU. So the question is now, how do we manage that? How do we keep that an open border so it doesn't stop trade and the flow of people and that sort of thing? That's what she's going to talk to the EU about. If she doesn't get that vote through Parliament, it's hard to imagine a scenario in which she could stay Prime Minister. And there's already talk of no confidence motions in her leadership, no confidence motions on the floor of the House against her government. And, of course, there are renewed calls now for another Brexit referendum because people actually know what they're voting for this time. So it's an absolute mess.
It is a mess. And, look, she's been, Theresa May and her delegates have been in, negotiations with the EU for quite some time. And how receptive are the EU going to be to making more concessions, do you think, in the coming weeks?
Well, publicly, not at all. They have repeatedly said and said again today, that's it. That's your deal. You're not getting another one. If we start renegotiating, everything is back on the table. We start from scratch again. So the EU doesn't want Britain to leave. So they're not going to make it very smooth for Theresa May. But they also recognise that that's the will of the people. People voted in a democratic referendum to leave the EU. So in a sense, they do have to honour that as well. The question is, could the EU get some wriggle room in terms of not the... I'm getting into detail here, but there's like the legal text of the deal, and then there's some supporting documentation. Maybe there's be supportive documentation with some clarity around this Northern Ireland issue. Don't know. She's going to Brussels this week to try and nut out something. And it's really her last-ditch effort. If she can't get that over the line, then you would have to say that she could no longer remain Prime Minister.
All right, Laurel, we'll leave it there. But thanks very much for that really comprehensive roundup.
Thanks, Laurel.
No worries. A very complex issue. Sorry to
no, I appreciate it. You made it really simple to understand. It was terrific.
Good. I'm glad. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Lisa, you know what you're talking about with this, do you?
Oh, look, it's divided. Yeah. It's divided, the UK. As Alana was saying, many people didn't want this to happen. They felt strong and a part of the EU. It was hijacked along the way by the National Front or whatever they are, the right-wing people over there. And it became a very kind of convoluted issue of what people were actually voting for in the Brexit thing. Mm.
That's what Laurel just touched on as well. She said, this time people know what it actually is. And that's pretty important.
I think, from my understanding, I think that the UK had the best deal. They were able to keep their own currency and they had a lot of pull in the EU. And since this has happened, the Union has said, all right, get stuffed. If you're going to act like that, as Laurel was saying, they didn't want the UK to leave in the first place. It's caused a huge headache over there. And I think Theresa May's on a hiding to nothing, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe Boris Johnson will be the next Prime Minister.
Love for us.
At least he's a bit of fun.
Yeah. Ruined it for breakfast. Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined it's overnight sports.
Oh, the Aussie cricketers head to Perth down but not out after losing the first test to India by 31 runs.
We were hard to beat. We made India work really hard. I think we made them work harder than they thought they were going to have to work. We never gave in, and you don't have to talk rubbish and carry on like a pork chop to prove that.
Part of the new nice approach by the Aussie cricketers. Selectors aren't expected to make any tweaks to the squad after a disappointing result. But Captain Tim Payne hasn't ruled out a reshuffle of the batting order. Usman Khawaja could be elevated to opener and Aaron Finch could be going out the back door. He might be dropped down the order and Sean Marsh's slot could also change. Australia need to win the second test at Perth Stadium to level the series.
Now in domestic cricket, the Redbacks remain the only team without a Sheffield Shield win after six games, but South Australia were able to bat out the final day of play against New South Wales at the SCG yesterday to deny the Blues victory.
To footy, and Adelaide's Daniel Talia is in a race to be fit for 2019 after having surgery on his right knee. We're told he's having the work done today and will miss a sizeable chunk of the pre-season after aggravating a previous injury at home.
And Carlton co-captain Sam Doherty is facing 12 more months off the park after rupturing his ACL at training yesterday. Cruelly, it's his second straight knee injury, leaving Patrick Cripps to lead the club alone next season.
And in basketball, Brisbane are now fourth after beating Melbourne by 16 points to wrap up round eight.
And that sport, where have you fallen asleep, Alana? Hey?
Maybe in the shower.
This morning? Triple M's Ruined Dits for breakfast back in 2019. You got Gleeso and Alana Smith. Mostly sunny today, top of 32. Right now it's 20 degrees in Henley.
Oh, it's going to warm up, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Beautiful before the rain arrives. And temperatures drop later in the week. Now, we are talking where you might have fallen asleep because when I came in this morning, producer Alice said, "What's news?" I said, "I'm pretty sure I just fell asleep in the shower."
Is that a
got
thing?
In and then got out 35 minutes later and didn't really accomplish much in there. I'm not sure what happened, but yeah, pretty sure there was a maybe 10, 5 minute window of Nodding off.
Nodding off. There you go.
Standing up or?
Yeah.
No, wow. Sitting down like a hospital shower.
I used to do 4 a.m. starts in a previous life and was known to also go to sleep inside a wardrobe. Yeah, so I can sleep anywhere.
Oh, I'm pretty good at sleeping anywhere. I do remember we'd flown back from LA and had a stopover in New Zealand, and we got into the Auckland Airport at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and everything was closed, obviously, all the shops and stuff. And I just found somewhere that I thought was a nice quiet corner to fall asleep. And the Kiwis, being the nice people that they are, obviously when, 8:30, 9 o'clock rolled around and the shops all open, I was actually in the doorway of a shop, but they didn't move me on. They just opened the doors and I woke up to someone stepping over the top of me thinking, what's going on here? But
it's a real skill. That was nice of them just to leave you in peace.
Just let him sleep, bro. He'll be all right. Just skip over him. I think my lifestyle especially is conducive to being able to get your sleep anywhere you can. If indeed you are going to sleep.
I spent some time on a tram after a big night.
Right.
Missed many stops because I was asleep.
Well, that was a
gag.
Did
a couple of rounds actually. That was City to Bay.
That was a gag we used to play on a mate of ours. We'd go out for the night. He'd get to the stage where he was falling asleep on the chair at the Cambridge Hotel, and we'd put him on a train to Sydney. It was a long way back from Sydney with a bad hangover.
Speaking of hotels, people tend to fall asleep in the toilets as well. The security don't check the dunnies.
Really?
People end up being locked in the hotels.
Oh, in pubs, yeah,
in
you
pubs,
mean? Yeah,
asleep,
right.
Yep.
I could think of worse places to be locked in. You wake up and just raid the cabinet.
We're taking your calls on 133353. Where have you fallen asleep? Did have movie passes, just hit the prize cupboard. We've got a Screaming Jets double.
Rock on.
For the best caller. Triple M presents the Screaming Jets, the Gotcha Covered Tour at the Gov on Friday the 21st December. For tickets, go to thescreamingjets.com.au.
Yeah, we're talking about the interesting places you've fallen asleep. Let's go to Anne at Elizabeth. What happened to you, Anne?
Oh, hello. It always happens to me. people take it in turns to sit near me in meetings so that they can keep kicking me because I snore. And at my desk, if it's a quiet day, I have a little doze and, again, I snore. So the chick sits across from me, throws pencils at me to wake me up before someone else hears me. So, yeah, I fall asleep a lot at work.
And what industry do you work in? Is it justified? I mean, are they boring meetings?
I don't want to say. No.
Air traffic controller.
I'm really busy, But, sometimes if it's quiet, because it's so busy, when it's quiet, I just have a little kip,
Well, fair enough.
You know those fake glasses with the eyes?
Yeah.
Some of those.
It's exactly what you need.
The snoring that gives me away.
The snoring.
I'd get away with it if I didn't start snoring.
Yeah. Chris from Hallett Cove, where have you fallen asleep, mate?
A while ago now, we had a work function, the end of year work function in town, and we ended up heading to the casino, and under the weather a tad, gone to the toilet, thought the disabled toilet looked a bit bigger and more comfy, so I done my business and fell asleep in there for about an hour and a half. Wife decided she couldn't find me, so she caught the taxi home and I had to find my own way home.
So were you sitting up or did you just make yourself comfortable and lie on the floor?
I actually remember looking in the mirror thinking I don't want to fall asleep in here, and I did. We used to go to the old McMahon's out at Salisbury over the years and years ago, and the St. Augustine's Primary School Oval was a good place. It was like the halfway home, so I'll have a sleep here for an hour or so and get up when I'm a bit better and head off home.
There you go. I'll tell you, it's a good trait to have, to be able to just fall asleep
anyway.
Anywhere you
can. Because kids can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They fall asleep half standing up with just their head, in crazy positions.
Hang on a minute. Kids
grow
can do
out
it.
Of.
Alana can do it as well, apparently, standing up in the shower.
I love it when they fall asleep in their cereal. That's funny.
Where have you fallen asleep? We'll take you some more calls next. 1-3-3-5-3. Ruined It's for Breakfast. Triple M's Ruined It's for Breakfast. The guys back in 2019. We're taking your calls on 1-3-3-5-3. Where have you fallen asleep? On the tweet, a school teacher, I have fallen asleep while teaching a lesson. Kids are bloody boring, aren't they?
Doesn't bode well for the kids listening if you're falling asleep telling them.
We've got Ashley on the phone from Morfitt Vale. How are you going, Ashley?
Hi, good, thanks, guys.
And where have you fallen asleep?
My boyfriend is in a 90s cover band that does punk rock music, and I used to regularly fall asleep at his gigs.
Oh, how'd he take that?
Oh, yeah, he was understanding. They were very good, too. You know, it's not their fault.
Because I don't know if people remember the movie Puberty Blues, but in the original movie, the guy gets out of the surf. He said to his girlfriend, "Did you see me catch that wave?" She goes, "No, I wasn't looking." He goes, "Well, you're dropped. Luckily not for you, Ash."
All right, let's go to Tyrone at Aldinga Beach. Where have you fallen asleep?
Yeah, I fell asleep at a wedding and woke up with my eyes shaved and makeup put all over me.
Awesome.
That'll happen to you.
That's nice to have friends, isn't it?
Jacob from Prospect, where have you fallen asleep, mate?
How you going, guys?
Yeah, very good, well. Thanks.
Yeah, look, about 4 years ago, I went on Kentucky in Europe, and I arrived in London, and on the first day before the trip, I thought, well, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time in London, so I went straight to the British Museum, straight off the plane, and all I remember is I just sat down for 5 seconds, maybe to get a water or something out of my bag. And I woke up 6 hours later.
Were you in public?
I was in public. Not one person bothered to wake me up.
They might have thought you were an installation. Oh, look at this sleeping man.
It's modern art.
Good security as well.
We got Colin from Onkaparinga Hill. How are you going, Colin?
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah,
very
good,
well.
Thanks.
We decided to go out on the town, and then we went to the casino, had a few drinks, and then we got fairly well inebriated. So then the girls go, "Let's go down to the Mars Bar." So, yeah, no worries. So me and my mates, we all go down to the Mars Bar, and they have unisex toilets there. Well, after a long night on the turf, go to the loo, have my splash, and all of a sudden I fell asleep leaning against the wall. And I got woken up by the bouncer saying, "You okay, champ?" Yeah, why wouldn't I be okay? He said, "You didn't find an extra dollar in your pocket, did you?" I said, no, I think I'm okay. And so, yeah, there I was, asleep in the Mars Bar toilet, standing up, but not with any extra money in my pocket, thank God.
Might leave that there.
Leaving it right there. Tom from Tea Tree Gully.
How you going, guys?
Good, yeah, mate. Good. Tell us where you've fallen asleep.
I've got two quick stories. I got one was, went out to town, fell asleep, blacked out, and woke up on top of a bus stop with people under me. And, yeah, that was awkward getting down. And the second one was won the footy premiership and then went to a house party. Again, no alcohol involved. Fell asleep in a car to a painter wanting to go to work.
Well, he you didn't know whose car you'd fallen asleep
no,
in?
No, I didn't know it was.
Oh, no.
Could you get leaving your car open?
Yeah, that'll teach him to leave it unlocked.
Yeah. And now we go to Anonymous. Here we go. How you going, mate?
Mate? Oh. Do you mean Jackie, mate?
Oh. Hey, Jackie. I just had Anonymous here. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's the reason I'm Anonymous is because I'm a little bit shy about admitting where I fell asleep because it's a military situation.
Right. Fair enough.
So I've got two stories. Communicator, radio on, doing the radio for the aircraft, and it was a night shift and I was asleep at the radio with aircraft calling in. And my boss came in and literally, it wasn't a pleasant experience. And the other time was during Fabricated War, where we were meant to defend our pit, and if there was a bomb going off, we were meant to put our gas mask on and defend our area. Well, I fell asleep during the war. So that's
was
why
a bomb.
I'm Anonymous.
No doubt. Well,
the country is in safe hands now because I'm now out of the military.
So are you currently employed?
Well, not in the military,
are,
no.
Are you out of it for that reason?
No, I'm not. So it's a bit of a private Benjamin situation there. That's why I didn't want to admit my name.
Right, right. Now you're in air traffic control at Adelaide Airport.
No. Everything's safe now. I want to reassure everyone.
Very good.
All right, Gleeso, Scream and Jess tickets. Now, the big story-making news across Australia involves that game Fortnite.
It does. Some guy goes by the name of Mr. Death Moth. Now, what happens with these gamers is they're online. They're live online. And people just, I reckon, 10 to 15-year-old boys would make up the majority of people watching it. So they watch you live streaming.
So we're talking webcams.
Watch you play a game, watch you actually playing the game Fortnite, which... It's kind of it's a killing game. You got to be the last man standing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this guy's found himself in a whole lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's a deeply disturbing incident that was filmed, domestic assault. So we'll find out a bit more about that shortly.
Yep, we'll cross to Jess Ridley from Sunrise to get the latest next. Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7. It's Adelaide's Triple M. 104.7, it's Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined Dits for Breakfast. They're back in 2019. We've got Gleeso and Alana Smith filling in for the guys.
Yeah, that's right. And we're talking about a really disturbing incident that was captured live on video while a gamer who goes by the name Mr. Dead Moth played. Let's take a listen.
Can you not? I said I'll be out soon. Stop.
No computer. I'm sick of this shit.
Stop. Please. I'll be out soon. Just stop.
Luke James Munday's alleged assault of his pregnant partner streamed live across the internet last night as he played Fortnite.
All I asked was for some time by myself. Just go away. No one, just go away. Leave me alone.
Disturbing hearing that.
It really is.
Yeah, it's very confronting. To talk more about this story, we're joined by Sunrise reporter Jess Ridley. Jess, good morning to you. Can you provide some background to this story for us?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it is really a horrible video that's now being viewed by more than 2 million people online. It happened on Sunday night at a home at Oran Park, which is in Sydney's outer suburbs. And you've got 26-year-old Luke Munday. Now, he is considered one of Australia's best young gamers. He was playing the very popular Fortnite battle game. And I would believe it was around 11:30, and the mother of his two children, they've got two daughters together, enters the room. You hear her, you know, say, come and have dinner, like, let it go. And he just unleashes hell, and there's just this awful struggle between the two. There's screams, there's thuds, there's slaps and whacks, and at one point, you know, this woman who's believed to be pregnant as well is wailing, and she goes and addresses the screen and says, "He's just slapped me." So one of the viewers on the other end of this has decided enough is enough. He or she has contacted the police, who then turned up at the house and arrested Munday, and he's now been charged with assault and slapped with an interim ADO, so he can't go near his partner, his de facto partner. So we spoke to this young woman's mother yesterday. Now, the woman wasn't seriously injured. She's only 21, but as I say, very, very concerning that she's pregnant as well and had this kind of stress. And the mother had indicated that she was actually glad that it had come out in this way because she claims that Munday has been mentally and physically abusing her daughter for a very long time, that she's been treading on eggshells. And she really felt that more needed to be done because he's been given conditional bail until he faces court on Thursday this week. And that video evidence, I mean, it's very strong, and that'll be used by the prosecuting police. He's also an engineer for Telstra, and Telstra has said that he's been suspended while this plays out in the court, and he's also been banned from the Fortnite game.
Yeah, look, it's so distressing to hear that. The fact that he's been caught on the webcam is very damning for him, and I guess it's great to have that type of evidence. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty open and shut case.
Yeah, and thank goodness somebody was brave enough to actually pick up the phone and call police and say, hey, something's going on here, because you also do hear the screams of young children. So I think they've got a 20-month-old and maybe a 4 or 5-year-old that were also, you know, in the house at the time. that this is all playing out. So really disturbing, more so to hear than to see. I mean, a lot of it is off camera, and there are things being thrown about, and, you know, perhaps who knows what exactly was transpiring between the two. But, yeah, it's all going to play out in court this week. And unfortunately, you know, it could ruin this young man's life. But maybe, you know, it's just putting a spotlight really on domestic violence. I mean, he is still, you know, innocent until proven guilty in the court. But, you know, the evidence, as you say, is extremely strong.
Yeah, there's so much wrong with it on so many levels. It's hard to get your head around. What sort of penalties does he potentially face?
Well, the penalties for this kind of assault, you know, there's definitely some jail time. I couldn't tell you exactly how many years, but it is taken very seriously, particularly, you know, this day and age with the things that have been going on. I mean, people have been jailed for a lot less in evidence, you know. It's not just a case of he says, she says. It's there in full evidence. So I guess they'll be looking at the history of that couple as well, whether they've been, you know, prior incidents that hadn't been reported. Perhaps there were cases that have been reported. So we'll get a better picture of this young man. Maybe it's just a one brain snap. And we know that addicts, in particular gaming addicts, can get, you know, quite aggressive and whatnot. We've seen that over the years as well. It is treated like an addiction. So I guess that's all going to play out over the next couple of days.
Now, Jess, is it the partner that's wanting to press charges, or is it more so the police?
So, well, the police have pressed that charge against him on her behalf. So it's hard to know without having been there whether she has pushed it herself. And then you've got to wonder whether she ever would have had it not been, you know, had it not been live streamed. So this could have just been a real answer to prayer had she been, you know, hiding in this house for that long and dealing with this silence. Mm. And now it's kind of all come out to the public. As I say, that video now by more than 2 million people across the world.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Jess, this morning. It's a disturbing thing, and I implore men, young men, men around the country to, we got to stop this. It's just out of control, the domestic violence issue, and if this highlights it, and once again, it's up to us all to be the cure to this scourge that's happening to women across the country on a too regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Jess Ridley there from Channel 7 Sunrise. Ruin Dits for Breakfast, Triple M. Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7. It's Adelaide's Triple M.
Ladies. Ruin Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Gleeso and Alana.
And who have we got with us this morning?
Batesy.
Ange.
And Alice.
And Alice, all right.
We've got a few topics to get through. Let's kick off with women-only sections on planes. There was a story in Gleeso's favourite publication, the South China Post,
that
discussed this topic. One woman was saying, was it 9 out of 10 men will encroach in her space?
9 out of 10.
She wants female-only areas.
Yeah, they manspread. They take up the arm rests. What are your thoughts on this, Batesy?
I think it's ridiculous. I've never really had an issue, but I do think that men sort of naturally end up putting their arms on the thing. But as long as you just sort of go, oh, like, just give casually them give them the shove, then I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think it's getting way too intense now.
I don't know who this woman thinks she is that, like, 9 out of 10 times she's being, like, you know, I don't
man
know,
spread.
Like man spread and whatever. I'm like, please. But, yeah, that's ridiculous. And, you know, I've had a really big person sit next to me once that, like, literally I was squished up right to the end. Mm. And the air hostess just came up to the side and said, I don't think you can breathe. Do you want to come up with me? And so I got up to the light business. I was
awesome.
Like, oh, this is good. But that was probably once. But I've had no other dramas flying before. So I think it's a bit ridiculous, like, to separate females and males on a plane. Like, come on.
And can we talk about how boring that flight would be? Like, half of the exciting stuff is, like, watching couples and watching, like, people flirt with each other, have a few wines. So, not for
listening
it.
To screaming babies. What do you do with the kids?
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Of course,
true.
The
mum would have to take it. Absolutely.
Perhaps they could have a kids section.
Kids section's a great idea.
Yeah. And can it be soundproof as well? I'd really
People would pay anything to get their kids in some kind of crèche on a plane.
So good.
See you in Europe.
Kids on a plane.
All right, moving on to our next topic. And giving engagement rings back if things fall through is our topic. What's your stance on it? Do you give the ring back? Do you get to keep it? How does it work?
I think that if it was me, it would depend on the reason we broke up. So if we broke up just like for we weren't getting on or it just didn't work, I think I'd give the ring back. But I think if he did the dirty or something bad, then I would absolutely keep the ring. I think that's like where my moral high ground sits.
I have no moral high ground. It's your ring. You earned it. You keep that, baby. And you sell it or pawn it, whatever you want to do.
I must say, Ange, you've got quite a collection of rings.
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah,
is that?
They're not. They won't be going anywhere if anything happens to return, except the pawn shop or remodeling. No, I love my rings. I'd probably just keep them, put them on the other finger.
Well, the reason we're talking about it is because in the advertiser today, in the confidential section, a story on Ali from The Bachelor and a previous engagement that hasn't worked out, and the ring has popped up on Gumtree. It's for sale.
And he's selling it. So she's obviously giving it back. Be livid.
They had matching ones, yeah.
They had matching ones.
That's his and hers weird. Wings.
Just
yeah, matching. It says in here they had matching his and hers engagement rings.
Well, that's just weird in itself.
Do you reckon she like made him wear the engagement ring?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's weird.
You've seen her on telly, haven't you? Yes. Yes, she did.
Yeah, I think I would just give it back because I'm a bit of like a believer in karma and I just don't think having that kind of negativity like What are you going to achieve from it? And I just
money.
Feel like...
No, money.
But that money, like then what do you spend the money on? Like it's just bad.
Dirty
shoes,
money.
Buy yourself a handbag. A new piece
it's like
of
blood
jewelry,
money.
Perhaps.
A car.
Yeah. How would you feel though if... So this story is obviously well publicised and people will know about the ring if you then received that ring as your engagement ring.
No, I think
that's worse. Karma.
No, that's so bad. If I ever got a second-hand ring, I would say no, I reckon.
I would have to say.
For anyone listening out there that might propose to me.
Like Joel or anyone.
Yeah. What about Mariah Carey, but she had a $6 million or some, or $8 million ring. Would you give that one back?
Yeah, I think that would actually be quite good karma. I might keep that one.
I'd take that second-hand ring.
Yeah.
I will make an exception. On this one occasion.
Absolutely. So good.
All right, girls. Well,
thank you very much
for
Angels.
Being
thank
here.
You.
Things we didn't get to.
One of the things I wish we'd got to is me changing that intro. But
no,
anyway.
Mate. It's under lock and key.
I wouldn't object to that either.
I'm just going to say.
Maybe tomorrow we'll get to that.
We were talking about Carl's wedding on the weekend, but Cassandra Thorburn, his former wife, is she be woke to Carl, and she's thrown some serious shade his way. She said that everything he says is about this fake person who lives in this fake castle. It's not real. After we separated, he said to me, it's very, very hard to be the best journalist in Australia, quite possibly the world. And I imagine he was referring to himself in that. And I don't know if you want to give your ex-wife ammunition like that to shade you up.
I feel like that's fairly embarrassing reading for Carl.
For sure.
She also exposed that when Carl said he wore the same suit famously for a year and no one noticed, she's saying not actually the case. He changed it.
That's right. She said everyone took him at his word, but no one went back and saw if that was actually the case. So serious shade on Carl. But lucky he's in Carbo.
Very nasty. apparently she, if you believe what you read, is going to launch her own career. In front of camera.
Right. Well, I imagine she'll have a lot of friends and fans who will support her.
Something else we didn't get to. Local actress who's made it big in Hollywood, Teresa Palmer, is back in town for Christmas with her two boys, and she's also 6 months pregnant with a baby girl. She's been at David Jones at the Magic Cave.
So in the hills or Semaphore, where folks live?
I'm not sure. She said she's going to be at a folks' place, I think. But okay. She's a great ambassador for Adelaide. Mm, she definitely. Always spruiks it, and every year she comes back and says that this is part of her life. She hasn't just moved to Hollywood and forgotten about it. She loves this town.
Yeah, good on her.
Time
go
to
Teresa.
Go.
Rock on.
Stand by for your shot at 20 grand with Triple M's hearing test. Have a good day, everybody.
See ya.